And now the game where we ask famous people about obscure things. It's called Not My Job. Comedian Paul Prevenza has earned his place in Comedy Valhalla for directing the movie The Aristocrats, which preserves forever the dirtiest joke ever told. We're curious, of course, if you can make it through 10 minutes with us without going blue. Paul Prevenza, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, sir. Violating any FCC regulations. I got all that out of my system in the movie.
Well, I know you did. Now, this, is, of course, the very famous movie, very successful on home video and DVD. Bunch of comedians telling the same incredibly filthy joke.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to ask you, we have heard since the movie came out that there might be a little, I don't know, fraudulence involved in that you set up this joke as something that these comedians all tell to each other in the privacy of their little comedian clubs. But is it true? Is that true? Did these comedians in your movie actually tell this joke before you approached them about it?
Well, you know, somebody posited that this was all a scam, and that, you know, particularly with Penn Jillette of Penn and Teller's involvement, we were partners on this project, that perhaps this was all a scam and it was all a big urban legend. And the really, the ultimate answer to that is, we're not that smart. I wish we had come up with that idea that it was a gag, but no, it's for real. It's a real joke.
That people have really told over the years.
Oh, yeah, it goes way back. We've been able to date it as far back as, like, the mid-19th century.
Since you're, wow. I guess, the leading expert in today's day and age on dirty jokes.
Consultant smut.
Yeah, exactly. A smut consultant. Let me ask you this.
My mother's very proud. Go ahead.
What? Did your mother go... this is Roxanne. Did your mother go see the movie?
My mother is... very supportive and very enthusiastic. And
his mother was in the movie.
Absolutely.
Boy, she can tell that joke, Paul.
My mother's in The Original Aristocrats. But she wanted to see the movie right away, and I was like, please no, please don't go and see this movie. But she went and bought 30 tickets for herself and 30 of her closest friends.
Nice.
And I flew down to Florida to be there with her.
My God, it would turn their blue hair white.
Yeah, well, I had 911 on the speed dial. Just...
How'd it go? How'd the screening go?
Oh, it went pretty well because I had put, because Larry Storch is in it, and Larry Storch is my mother's favorite comedian, so I talked through it and it distracted her until Larry Storch.
There you go.
So, what were her first words at the end of the movie?
My mother has this fabulous thing she says when she doesn't want to be negative. And she just, like, if we go to see a show or something, and or she goes to see friends or kids of friends in shows or whatever, she'll just look you in the eye, and with all the sincerity she can muster, she'll say, where they get the energy, I just don't.
Now, speaking of movies that you've made, we were very excited to find that you have landed the movie rights to the most popular children's book of all time.
Yes, I figured I should do something different from the, you know, from the 18 and above only aristocrats and do a children's movie.
Right. So you got the movie rights to the book Everybody Poops.
Correct.
Huh.
The largest children's selling book in history. And by the way, it's true. Everybody does, in fact, poop.
Yeah, really. Has there ever been a title it's harder to argue with? So and this is a book. I've seen this book. It's a Japanese book originally, right?
And it was by a Japanese publishing house, and I got the rights to do this movie, and I have some, no pun intended, footage in the can already.
Nice. Offhand, I don't see a third act, though.
Well... you happen to be one of the lucky, healthy ones.
But, I mean, for those few people who haven't seen this book...
We have Everybody Poops, and there's not a storyline there, is there, Paul?
They laughed at Galileo.
Really? So basically, this is a book which is photographs or drawings of various animals doing their business, as they used to say, right?
Yeah.
And it gives a universal message to children that, you know, essentially... everybody poops. And
yeah. Pooping is okay, and it's healthy, and it's good for humanity.
Right. Yeah.
But is it a good movie?
Well, I don't know. I'm not done with it yet.
Yeah. Paul. It's way too early.
Paul, there's no story.
There's movement.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, Paul?
Was there a big battle for the rights? Been out for a while. Did you notice that there was no bidding war for the rights to the movie of Everybody Poops?
Let me just tell you this.
Yeah.
Unbelievable product placement in this movie.
Paul Provenza, we're delighted to have you with us. We have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Don't worry, dude. Score 50 points this weekend and nobody will remember you got arrested.
Okay.
College athletic programs, of course, serve as training grounds for the professional leagues. And not just on the field. Many of the athletes who act as role models for our youth learned how to pose for a mugshot while still in the groves of academe. So using a recent survey by Bud Withers in the Seattle Times, we're going to ask you about three great moments in college athletic hijinks. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, in their home answering machine. So, Corey, who is Paul Provenza playing for?
Matthew McConnell of Triplett, North Carolina.
You ready, Paul?
I'm ready. Matthew, I hope you're ready, too.
All right. Back in 1995, Art Long played basketball for the University of Cincinnati. He got arrested for a crime that was outlandish even by the standards of the mid-90s. What was it? A, trying to hijack a Mr. Softy ice cream truck. B, punching a police horse. Or C, stealing a laundromat washer and dryer and putting it in his dorm room.
I have done all three of those. They're illegal, apparently?
Yes.
All right, what year was this again?
1995.
I'm going to go with the Mr. Softy truck.
Mr. Softy truck. No, I'm afraid it was punching a police horse.
Ah.
Allegedly, he punched the horse four times during a traffic stop. His defense, this is true, convinced the jury that he was merely petting the horse, and he was acquitted.
That's a good defense, though. I mean, the petting the horse defense is good. I probably would have gone with the horse started it, and you never win those.
It mouthed off.
Yeah.
All right, you have two more chances here. You can get this. Now, fights are nothing unusual in college athletics. Again, 1995. This time, the University of California football player Tariq Glenn, who weighed 335 pounds, got into a physical altercation with whom? Was it A, a tame brown bear named Oswald? B, Benny Beaver, the mascot for the Oregon State football team? Or C, a Sacramento City bus?
Okay, I'm going to go with the bear.
You're going to go with the bear?
Yeah.
It was the mascot, Benny the Beaver. Benny the Beaver, of course, really a 5'9", 135-pound woman inside a big furry suit. Just a week after this incident, oddly enough, a lineman from Arizona State also slugged Benny Beaver.
Well, let me tell you something about Benny Beaver.
Tell me something, please.
He's asking for it.
Yeah, clearly.
He's always busy, busy, busy.
All right, you have one more question. Get this one right. You'll have some semblance of honor. One of the more famous incidents of athlete rage happened back in 1999. In fact, we mentioned it on this show, if you were listening. What did Dion Rayford, a football player at Kansas, do one late night in Lawrence, Kansas? A, he broke into the Lawrence Zoo with the intention of, quote, kicking some gorilla's butt. B, he tried to climb through a Taco Bell drive-thru window enraged because he had not received his chalupa. Or C, he bit the right thumb off a bronze statue of abolitionist John Brown.
I'm noticing a trend of real hostility from college athletes towards the animal kingdom.
It's true.
Boy, I have no reference points for this whatsoever. I can't even triangulate an answer. I'm going to go with the gorilla.
You're going to go with the gorilla. He was after that gorilla. Is that your choice?
Judging from the other college athlete, I think...
A reasonable choice. Animal. But in fact, no, it was the Taco Bell drive-thru window.
Ah. Oh, come on.
And he being a rather large fellow, he got stuck in the window.
Well, I think that was a trick question because he thought chalupa was Spanish for gorilla.
For gorilla,
sure,
yeah.
No. Here's the tragic part of the story. He never got that chalupa.
More tragic, they never got him out.
No, he's still there.
He's still there now. People just talk into his butt.
And so we come full circle.
Yes.
Like nature herself.
Corey.
I was so excited to be coming on your show that I spent the last 2 days scouring all the top headlines of the day.
Did you really?
And I ended up with a guy in a chalupa window.
Story of my life, dude.
I went the wrong way.
Corey, how did Paul Provenza do in our quiz?
Paul
you know how I did.
Paul Provenza got none right, meaning no prize for Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. I agree, Paul. I don't think we had to review that.
Yeah, that's just hurtful, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in case you missed it, let's take a look at it in slow motion.
Ooh, that hurt. Oh, watch him miss that right answer. Oh, here it comes. Oh. I don't know if this will be of any comfort to you, Paul, but way back in the early days of this show, we used to have public radio personalities on as our guests, and we used to name the scores after the first person to get that score, and we used to call none right a Corey Flintoff.
Well, that's true. Let me ask you something. Is that supposed to make me feel better?
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it?
In a special way.
Paul Provenza is an actor, director, and filmmaker. He directed The Aristocrats, which is now out on DVD. You should all go see it immediately. Paul Provenza, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.